Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
You're listening to a special storytelling edition of Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood. J.L. Callahan concludes his story, Forged in the Stars.
The next night, Friday night, Jack was in his apartment. There was a knock and the door was flung open. And in came Cynthia Moss, Kate's best friend and apartment mate. Cynthia Moss was not to be trifled with. She came forward eye to eye with Jack. Jack, I don't know what went on between the two of you last night, but Kate is very upset and she's got the GREs tomorrow. I asked her, why is she doing this with you? She said that for the first time we can see the Earth from afar, and it's tiny and precious. For the first time we see the solar system from afar, tiny and precious. For the first time we're stretching into the universe. She said if we could take that in, no telling how big our vision might become. I just want to know, what are you going to do Sunday night at MIT, Jack?
Well, Cynthia, for your information, I might read a complete list of the accomplishments of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory and explain a few in a way that even you can understand them. You condescending ass. What happened to you? Used to be such fun, Jack. You'd come up the stairs singing, we called you the Pavarotti Lobsterman. I know what you're going to do at MIT Sunday night. You're going to come out on the stage with your tweed jacket and your fake half glasses. You're going to hide behind the podium. You're going to stutter till we're sorry for you. Then you're going to bore us. Well, I'm bringing celery. You bore us, I'm going to eat the celery. And if you dare to condescend, I will throw the celery at you. Don't ruin this for Kate. Sunday night, at MIT, 6:45, Kate peeked out and there was a good house, including college students, high school students. She was nervous but excited. She felt she had done well in the GREs. Kate won the audience over, telling them about being 5 years old and her dad saying, Kate, the blackness and the stars, not just above us, they're all around us, Kate, all around us. Then the audience was intrigued to hear about this vision of a 5-year-old Cherokee boy. Kate told the story. Then she told them J.C. Heigl had been an engineer 40 years at NASA and had established a foundation to encourage Native Americans to become engineers, scientists. They had no idea how difficult that first moon landing was, and even more important, they didn't realize people around the world said, "We did it!" And they realized this is NASA's accomplishment, but it's also humanity's accomplishment. And finally, they were honored. She told the truth about Krista and the Challenger. And now it's up to Jack. Jack came out on the stage, tweed jacket, half glasses, stood behind the podium. Ladies and gentlemen, I may read a complete list of the accomplishments of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. He took off the half glasses. He took off the jacket. He stepped in front of the podium. Sounds wicked boring, doesn't it? My first memory of the stars is when I was 5 or 6 with my granddad in a lobster boat, 4 in the morning, way up Portland, Maine. My granddad said, some people go to offices. My office mates are the stars. My granddad taught me celestial navigation. I found out I was good with numbers. My dad taught me piloting. Physics is the push and pull of things. It's like lobstering. Push the pot out, pull it in. And you got to pay attention in both. I'm going to tell you one story about the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. And I chose this because it's a marriage of imagination and science. That's what NASA does best, imagination and science. My story begins 1965, early in space exploration, with a fellow named Gary Flandreau, Caltech student. He He was also working for JPL. So he's in the office, and my gosh, he says, he realizes the outer planets, the gas giants, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, are going to be lined up on one side of the sun in a way they will not be lined up again for 176 years. They have not been lined up this way since Jefferson's time. And Flandreau thinks this is the time for a grand tour of the outer planets. He knows all about gravity assist, meaning you get a spacecraft coming behind a planet and the gravity of that planet flings it forward at a tremendous speed. A grand tour. Now remember, this is 1965, early in space exploration. Mars, at its closest to the Earth, 35 million miles. When you are talking about Neptune, you're talking about 2.5 billion miles. Is this possible? Nobody knows. And Congress says, it's too expensive. Cut it back. Maybe you can go to Jupiter and Saturn. That's it. No grand tour. So the engineers and scientists get busy. And they're very careful, because what if they're so good, the spacecraft called the Voyager, very small, 1,800 pounds, got a great big, looks like a television disc. What if they build them so carefully they do get to Jupiter and Saturn and go to Uranus? 1977, they got to be launched. That's where imagination comes in. Carl Sagan, the astronomer, says, why not send a message with these Voyagers? What kind of message? He talks to Lewis Thomas, a biologist. Thomas says, why not send all a buck? And Thomas says, no, that would be boasting. Sound, the idea of sending sound. How would we do it? On a copper record that would last 1 million years, the color will be gold, we'll call it the golden record. What sounds? We'll send hello in 55 languages, hello. And sounds of the earth, yes, yes, frogs and whales and insects and wind and thunder and a kiss and a cry of a baby and Morse code and music, Beethoven and Bach and Mozart. Then they call across the country to the World Music Center. And Mr. Brown says, you mean these two things are going to the stars? Then you got to send Kisa by Kirkar, singing Jahan Hat Ho. Who's that? Kisa by Kirkar, born in Calcutta, beloved in India. Get a record of her. Now the door is opening to music of the world. Alan Lomax, who spent his life collecting ethnic music, says, listen to this. It's a Bulgarian shepherd's song. Sound of people who had enough to eat for the first time. Now the door is flung open. Australian horn and totem music. Pygmy girl's initiation song. Melanesian panpipes, Chinese chin music. Japanese flute music. But all this takes time. There's 3 days left. The list has got to be closed. They call across the country, Mr. Brown, we can't find a record of this woman, Kisa by Kirkar. Find it! They've tried everything. 2 days left. They call, Mr. Brown, find it! So someone calls Indian restaurants all over. One of them says, yes, yes. In New York City, Lexington Avenue in the 20s, is an appliance store run by an Indian family. Go into the appliance store, you'll see a card table with a mattress cover. Underneath the card table is a carton. In the carton is a record of her singing that song. They get it. And President Carter sends a message. He says, this is a present from our small planet. Maybe we're growing up. I say to myself, instead of taking things from the universe, we're giving something back. So in August 1977, the first of the voyages lift off. September the 2nd, with 55 hellos, bonjour, ciao, ni hao, shalom, hello, hello, we want to say hello to you. 1979, a flyby, Voyager 1 flying by Jupiter. The scientists excited. They discover one of Jupiter's moons, Io, is the most volcanic body in the solar system. It's turning itself inside out. It's the Maria Callas of the solar system. And Europa, another moon of Jupiter, is a crust of ice. But underneath that crust of ice may be a salt sea bigger than the Atlantic and Pacific put together. There may be life. The Voyager sailed on. Hello, hello. Saturn. And then Uranus, Uranus, 4 exciting days. Looking down at Uranus, this blue-green pearl of a planet. January 24th to 28th, 1986. And on the fourth day, January 28th, on the East Coast, the Challenger explodes. The Voyager sails on. The Berlin Wall falls. The voyager sails on. Hello, hello, Nelson Mandela, released from prison after 27 years. The voyager sails on. Hello, hello. Two Russians and one American live 136 days in space. Living in space has begun. Cooperating in space has begun. Hello, hello, we want to say hello. Hubble telescope is launched. Blurred vision, choke of late night television. The blurred vision is corrected, and through the Hubble we see objects 12 billion light years away. We see the dance of the universe as it's never been seen, and the voyager sails on. Hello, hello, we want to say hello, want to say hello to you. February 14th, 1990, Voyager 2 is beyond Pluto, sends back a photo of our solar system. In that photo, the Earth is the size of the eye of a goldfish. It's a speck. And on that speck is everything we love, and the voyager sails on. Hello, hello, the Clinton years. Princess Diana dies. In the year 2000, my dad, a lobsterman, got off his lobster boat, crossed the street. He collapsed. He was dead of a heart attack. My dad and I, we had our ups and downs, but I loved him, and I'm shaken. And the voyager sails on. 9/11, the whole country is shaken, and the voyager sails on. Hello, hello, I want to say hello. 2003, I come to MIT wondering, am I good enough to get a PhD? I'm scared to death. I meet a young woman, an engineering student. We fall in love. And the voyager sails on. Hello, hello, I want to say hello. 2004, two rovers set down on Mars, Spirit and Opportunity. They're expected to go 3 months and then stop because the solar panels will be covered with dust. Surprise. The wind on Mars blows the dust off. Spirit and Opportunity are going as I speak. Hello, hello. The spacecraft Cassini begins to orbit Saturn. We see the rings in Saturn as clearly as you see the grooves in a record. It's a pilot project of NASA, the European Space Agency, and the Italian Space Agency. Hello, hello. I get engaged. I'm a stuffed shirt, and she calls it off. And the voyager sails on. Hello, hello. My left fist is the sun. My right fist is the Earth, 93 million miles away. The voyagers are not even in the room. They're downtown. The voyagers are 10 billion miles from the sun. I'm sure you all know about the solar wind. It's really particles streaming out from the sun a million miles an hour and more. It forms a great bubble our whole solar system is in. Some people call it heliosphere. Bubble's a much better term. In 6 or 7 years, the voyagers are going to leave the bubble, go to interstellar space. They're going to reach the Oort cloud. In the year 26,000, they're going to make the closest approach to the star Sirius in the year 296,036. They're going to pass the 12 nearest stars in the year 1 million. And who knows, maybe some civilization will find one of the voyagers and play the golden record, and they'll hear Kisa by Kirkar. They'll hear Pygmy Girl's initiation song, Melanesian panpipe. They'll hear Louis Armstrong, Navajo night chant. They'll hear Chuck Berry. They'll hear Beethoven and Bach and Mozart and Stravinsky. And they'll hear Blind Willie Johnson singing, Dark Was the Night. And maybe they'll say, these beings want to dance. And I think that'll be just about right. Seems to me what we've been doing the last 50 years is we've been dancing our way into the universe. Oh, Jack finished, and there was silence. Then there was an explosion of applause. Cynthia leapt up with her green wig and her celery fell off her lap. She ran up and threw her arms around Jack. It was 3 weeks later that Jack picked Kate up and they went down to Gloucester.
He borrowed his friend's lobster boat, and they went way, way out to sea. The stars were brilliant. The sea was calm. He took her by the shoulders and said, "Kate, the stars and the blackness are not just above us, Kate, they're all around us, Kate. And Jack, they're inside us. All of the molecules in our bodies were forged billions of years ago in generations of stars. Jack, let's get married. You serious, Kate?" "Of course I'm serious. I'm scared, but I love you. We'll work it out. I've even thought about the wedding food. I want to have pizza and eclairs." "And Jack, I want to be married on Mars." "Well, Kate, I'll take you there in my lobster boat. What do you think of that?" "Jack, that would be perfect. And why not? Why not? Why not?"
Storyteller Jay O'Callaghan with his NASA commissioned story, Forged in the Stars. I want to thank you again, Jay. Thanks. Our storytelling special today was recorded in WGBH's Fraser Performance Studios. Our engineers are Jane Pippick and Jeff Turton. Eileen Belinsky produced this program. Our crew includes Bobby Bascom, Bruce Gellerman, Ingrid Lobet, Helen Palmer, Jessica Lee Smith, Ike Sriskandaraja, Mitra Taj, and Jeff Young, with help from Sarah Calkins, Marilyn Gavoni, and Sammy Souza. Our interns are Quincy Campbell and Nirja Parekh. I'm Steve Kerwood. Thanks for listening. And from all of us here,
happy holidays!
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science, and Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies. Stonyfield pays its farmers not to use artificial growth hormones on their cows. Details at stonyfield.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners. The Ford Foundation, the Town Creek Foundation, the Oak Foundation, supporting coverage of climate change and marine issues, and Pax World Mutual Funds, integrating environmental, social, and governance factors into investment analysis and decision-making. On the web at paxworld.com. Pax World, for tomorrow.
Public Radio International.